Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
I delivered to the nation of Israel, designed to make the Jews feel good. The sad fact is that the Jews eventually threw Jeremiah in a cistern and hoped he would drown. But do not Jeremiah's words show his lack of love for the Jewish people? If a preacher really loves the people to whom he preaches, will he be so blunt and harsh in his preaching? That question ought to be rephrased. If people need the kinds of message Isaiah and Jeremiah delivered to God's people, and the preacher does not deliver it, how can he pretend to love his hearers? If people are destroying themselves for lack of knowledge, and the preacher makes no effort to remedy the situation, he will be called to give an account for his negligence. I do not want that to happen to me in the day of judgment. I want to be able to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. But not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, and the other prophets of the Old Testament vigorously attacked the sins of God's people. They were not trying to hurt people's feelings, although there can be no doubt it did happen. But Jesus Christ, the meek and lowly Son of God, would never use the harsh language one finds in the Old Testament. Or would he? If you have read Christ's sermons, you know the answer to that question. No one, not the prophets or John the Baptist or the apostles, ever used stronger words in condemning sin and error than did our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 15 records a conversation between Jesus and some scribes and Pharisees. The Jewish leaders ask Jesus, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Matthew 15:2. Jesus accused the scribes and Pharisees of transgressing not the tradition of the elders, but the commandment of God by their tradition. He spoke very plainly to them, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draws near unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 15:7-9. Later in the same chapter, Jesus asked, "Are you also yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But to eat without washing the hands does not defile the man." Matthew 15:16-20. We need to remember that Jesus was speaking to his own people, the Jews, and yet he told them exactly what they needed. He may have hurt their feelings, but he was striving to turn them from Satan to the living God. The truth may not make us feel good, but the truth and only the truth can set us free. John 8:32. Jesus specialized in the truth because he was and is the truth. John 14:6. I shall read one other brief excerpt from Christ's sermons before I examine some of the apostles' teaching. Matthew 23 has more to say about hypocrisy than any other chapter in the Bible. A few verses from that chapter will show conclusively that our Lord's aim in his preaching was not to make his hearers feel good, but to bring them to repentance. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you are witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them who killed the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Matthew 23:29-33. How can anyone use such critical words and claim to love his hearers? Jesus knew that only strong language would cause his hearers to repent of their sins and to turn to God for the remission of their sins. Jesus did not conduct a survey to determine whether his hearers felt good about his preaching. His goal was to honor God by teaching the truth. Did his preaching result in repentance on the part of the Pharisees? We have no way of knowing, but we do know that what Jesus did was in harmony with the will of his Father. You have probably read all of Paul's epistles. You know how much he loved the people to whom he preached. His love for the Philippians can be summarized in several simple statements. The following are direct excerpts from his letter to the church at Philippi. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Philippians 1:3-5. For God is my record, how greatly I long for you all in the heart of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Philippians 1:8-9. There seems to have been a very special relationship between Paul and the Philippians, but it is evident he loved all the people to whom he wrote or preached. The church at Corinth had many problems. Paul wrote to them to urge them to turn from the error of their way. It is hard to believe, but the church at Corinth had confusion and division around the Lord's table. That fact led Paul to write as follows. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one of you takes before others his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and to drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame them who have not? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. 1 Corinthians 11:17-18, 20-22. If our desire is to make people feel good, make them go home with enough good feeling to last them through the week, we would not preach like Paul did at Corinth. We would butter people up and give them a feeling that all is well when all may not be well. Neither John the Baptist, nor the Lord Jesus Christ, nor the apostles were in the business of making people feel good. Their goal was to lead men and women out of sin to the Savior of mankind. Do feelings sometimes get hurt when such preaching is done? I have no doubt that many of the Corinthians believe that Paul did not love them because of his strong preaching. But his object of leading them out of sin and error was accomplished, as you can readily learn by reading 2 Corinthians 7:7-10. What if Paul's major goal was to make the Corinthians feel good? Many souls, including the soul of the Apostle Paul, would have been lost. Among the churches of Galatia, there apparently were many false teachers. They were not denying, as some did in the first century, that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh. Instead, they were attempting to combine certain elements of the law of Moses and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through their efforts, they had created a hybrid religion, a religion that would cause them to be lost if they did not repent. The Apostle Paul asked them, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" Galatians 3:1. The Greek word translated foolish, anoetos, means not understanding, not perceiving, not applying the mind. The New English Bible renders the Greek stupid. Surely no preacher who loved his hearers or readers would be so cruel with his language. After all, the situation among the Galatian churches could not have been all that serious. The truth is, they were in danger of falling from grace. Galatians 5, 1-4. Paul asked the Galatians, "You did run well. Who has hindered you that you should not obey the truth?" Galatians 5:7. Did Paul's preaching among the Galatian churches result in their repentance? We are not told, but he knew that no other kind of preaching would lead to repentance. Tragically, both in the church and out, there are people who deeply resent strong, uncompromising preaching. They prefer that only milk and not meat be served. There are preachers who do that kind of preaching. When only milk is provided, the members become weak and eventually turn back to the weak and beggarly elements of the world. The author of Hebrews unquestionably had such preachers and preaching in mind when he wrote, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles or words of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone who uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Hebrews 5, 12-14. No preacher in his right mind wants to drive people away from the kingdom of God. Every preacher who sincerely wants to serve God prays that his lessons will challenge people to live closer to each other and closer to God. Preaching the truth of the gospel does not leave room for negotiation. I have no right, and neither does any other preacher, to alter the word of God so that our hearers will feel good. Neither do I have the right to preach only on simple themes so that people will leave the meeting house with a good feeling, unless they feel good when they hear the whole counsel of God. My friends, I ask you today to think seriously about these matters and pray that all who preach will be faithful to the gospel. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.